Today's scripture is Acts 2, 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, you may think this is a little weird, but sometimes I like to take a walk in a cemetery. No, it's not about ghosts or haunts or anything creepy. It's just that I think cemeteries can be pretty, they can be full of history, and they're a place where people aren't forgotten. Cemeteries are often overlooked. People pass them by every day, as they go along their life. And really, the only times, a lot of times we go in them is when the loss is personal. But as a pastor, sort of introverted, I'm drawn to places, I think, where the air is heavy and the feelings run deep. When I walk through a cemetery, I like to look at all the different headstones and the styles and the colors, and I like to read the names and calculate the ages of the folks who've gone before. Recently, on a fall day, I was up visiting Mom and Dad east of St. Joe, and I had some extra time when I stopped in the cemetery that was down the road. The cemetery is at Seven Dollars Catholic Church in the Herlingen community, built in the 1840s when immigrants from Herlinger, Germany, came and settled in the neighborhood. The current building's recently closed by the Diocese of Kansas City, St. Joseph, but it was built in 1872, and the cemetery around it was built up. As I walked around the cemetery of Seven Dollars a few weeks ago, I saw names that I recognized and even some folks that I remembered. And because these losses weren't personal, I felt a sense of joy as I walked around and paused at a few headstones, remembering some things about my old neighbors, and if I thought hard enough, I could even remember some of their voices. Well, today is our observance of All Saints Day, and we've already named those who've gone before us that are special to each one of us, that may not be a saint that's recognized by the Catholic Church. I think there's 10,000 of them or more. But yet they are saints to us because they did wonderful and amazing things. Well, the passage that we just read from the book of Acts, tradition tells us, was written by Luke as a sequel to his gospel. This is the rest of the story to the resurrection of Jesus. And it tells the story, Acts does, of how the church was born. And it seems like the recipe for church growth in Acts chapter 2 was pretty simple. Now, I didn't say easy. As you read through Acts, there are lots of trials and challenges, but it's simple in the fact that the ingredients are few. After the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples at Pentecost, we're told in verse 42 that they all devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. My favorite Greek word, koinonia, which means sacred community of sharing and peace. And there was this sense of awesomeness, that wonderful things that they were experiencing. They were together. They had things in common. Again, koinonia. And I've preached about that, so that's why I've skipped over that. But many of you have heard me talk about koinonia is the Greek sense of a sacred community of sharing and peace, where all are together and they make sure that everyone's needs are met, like that song that we first read, that we sung earlier. There was a sense of awesomeness in what God was doing. And they sold their possessions and they gave those to those in need. The first believers saw their things as an extension of themselves, as a tool for sharing their faith. And they were so fully invested in this new Christian fellowship because they were seeing God at work. They met together for worship. They ate together with gladness and joy, and they grew rapidly. It's not easy to grow a church, especially in the world in which we are living in. The actual concept is quite simple, though it's not easy. They loved one another. They weren't concerned with the sin of others or how they lived or who they loved or how they wanted to marry. In the Roman world, every man looked after himself. It was a very individualistic culture. And so this was a brand new concept. If you got extra, give it. And sometimes if you don't have extra, give it. Love one another, period. Eat together. Praise God. You know, I think this koinonia was a product that sold in the ancient world. And I believe that we here at Broadway United Methodist Church, Christians, have a product to sell. This product is the hope of the resurrection. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we're called to love and serve others as Jesus did in the Gospels. This sacred community, this koinonia, is something that I feel is missing in many parts of our world today. In a time that's so uncertain for a lot of people, I think the opportunity is ripe for sharing this product that we have, for selling it to our community and to our world. Now, did I say it is hard to grow a church in this world today? I think I've mentioned that a couple of times. And things seem to be growing, are changing by the minute these days. But I want to say again that I believe that God is working and blessing us in our work as we serve. We kind of like Acts chapter 2, as we eat together and fellowship together and share what we have abundantly. And that is going on so much, especially with our food ministries and such. So much is going on. We've got a big spirit. Now, we need those continued tithes because funds are more limited now than we've made some big repairs. It's also not easy to be a disciple in this world. It may feel as if you're running in all different directions. But just keep it up. Things are happening. We're striving to do these things like the first church did, to celebrate and to share what we have and to live in justice and community. I believe that Christians are called to action, to identify the needs around us, to meet the needs that we can, and know we can't save the world. It seems like there are so many things that are out there, but when we find the needs that are in our community and we meet them, powerful things happen. We're seeing that. When we find a need that we can meet, you see, that's when powerful things happen. Now, there's a lot of talk about the rich out there, ain't there? Well, one such rich man was named Zacchaeus, and Luke wrote about him in his gospel. Jesus was walking along. He saw a man who climbed up in a tree, and, well, let's listen to the story. It's good. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble, and they said, "He who has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." Luke tells us that Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He worked for the government. He was loaded, and he was short in stature. And, well, for what he had in cash, he lacked in everything else. But something interested him about Jesus. He took the time to stick his neck out and to see him, and boy, did he ever. Ready or not, Zacchaeus got the Lord as his visitor. And he was so changed by his experience with Jesus that he invested, that he gave. This is our theme for the next few weeks, is just say yes. In this season of giving and season of generosity that we're about to enter into, I think it's good for us to celebrate all the blessings that we have and how God is calling us to share, as so many are doing. I think it's amazing that we're getting responses from people that we really don't know, believe in our mission of serving in our community, and they're responding, and I think it's a very powerful thing. So, ready or not, he got Jesus as his visitor, and he was so changed that he invested in all of this. He gave half of his possessions. He offered to make amends four times over. And so Jesus called this tax collector a son of Abraham, and he told Zacchaeus that today salvation has come to his house today. He felt close to God as he gave. Well, like I often say, Scripture is less about us, and it's more about what God is doing. And this story today about Zacchaeus is about a God who comes to save the least and the lost. A God who has done so much for each of us. And that's the basis of our radical welcome of others. God, through Jesus, gave a radical welcome to Zacchaeus. Someone that, just another person in the Gospels that had been cast aside. And God does it for us. I mean, Zacchaeus was worth it to God. He saw that God is worth it. And we're here because of people who we just read, who believe that we are worth it, who believe that this faith is worth it, and that we're worth it to God. And we believe that what we do here at Broadway United Methodist Church is worth our time, our energy, and our money. God has given us people in our lives to reiterate the fact that you, each one of us, is a person of sacred worth. These people that were in our lives that we've read and that we thought about and told a bell, these were extensions of God in our lives. They were hands and feet and mind and the body of Christ. And they taught us that, well, that there's something more than this world is often offering. The names that we just read a few moments ago are people like that. They are mothers, they are our fathers, they are our sons and our daughters. Some are lifelong church members that gave a lot back both here and in Plattsburgh. We were worth it to them. They felt the worth of God. God loved each one of us through them. And we remember the footprint that they left on our life today. You see, this is a call to action, to keep living out our faith, to be a saint, as that first hymn called us to do, to share the love of Jesus. What we are doing is worth it. I think people are seeing that it's worth it. And we're called to see our worth and the worth of others through the hands of others, and that everyone is of sacred worth to God. So may we be more like Zacchaeus. You know, all the places that we find ourselves falling short, may we look for Christ in our lives. May we see our worth and the worth of others and share. Let's pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that you come to us. Help us to remember the model of Christianity that grew the church, where we love others and serve together and share, and where we look for and experience your work in our lives. Help us to celebrate that you come to us just like you came to Zacchaeus, and you help us to see your presence in our lives and in our world. Help us so to share, in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.